Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So imagine this. You're pulling over, maybe on the side of the hutch or some street in Yonkers after a crash. That feeling, right, just chaos.
It's that immediate shock.
Exactly. But then once things calm down, police clear the scene, you're basically left holding this one crucial document, the accident report.
Mm-hmm. The MV-104, usually.
Right. And today, we're doing a deep dive into that very piece of paper. Now, getting it, that's step one, sure.
But that's just the start.
Our mission today is really to uncover what happens next. When that report moves from the precinct into, say, a Westchester County courtroom, how it turns from just data points into, well, potentially powerful, even weaponized evidence.
And that's really the core legal challenge, especially here in the NYC metro area. It's a system where, honestly, the legal stakes jump up immediately. You've got the density, the inherent risks of the roads, plus really strict enforcement.
So just having the report isn't enough.
It's not even close. It gives you the facts, sure, but as the officer saw them, often quickly at a busy scene. Understanding the real legal implications, you know, the liability, the potential medical fallout, the inevitable insurance fight that needs expert eyes on it almost the minute that report gets filed.
Okay, so for this deep dive, we're grounding ourselves in the reality of personal injury law right here, looking through the lens of decades of experience from the law offices of Norman Gershon.
Makes sense.
Let's maybe start with the local picture, the geography.
Yeah.
Because the roads themselves, they kind of dictate the accidents we see, right?
Absolutely. The local context is critical. People think NYC Metro, maybe they just picture Manhattan's grid. But up here in Westchester, yeah, we're dealing with those parkways.
Oh, yeah. The Bronx River, Sawmill, Taconic, the Hutch.
Exactly. And they're notorious, aren't they? Winding paths, sometimes steep hills, blind curves, often pretty poor sight lines. They're just high-risk environments for serious crashes. Especially, you know, when speed gets involved.
In speed. That's where New York law gets really serious, really fast. We're not talking small stuff here.
No, absolutely not. New York State is, frankly, known for being strict. If you're in a crash and you get cited for speeding, the fines alone can hit, what, up to $600? Plus, you're looking at anywhere from 3 to 11 points on your license.
11 points. Wow.
Yeah. But here's the kicker, the thing people often miss. If the officer clocks you going 30 miles per hour or more over the speed limit, that's not just a speeding ticket anymore.
What does it become?
It can actually be bumped up to a reckless driving misdemeanor charge, a criminal charge.
Okay, that changes the whole game for the person involved, I imagine.
Yeah.
How does a misdemeanor, even if it seems minor, affect a civil lawsuit later on, you know, the injury claim?
Oh, it changes everything. It creates immediate prejudice, basically. Think about it. The insurance company on the other side, their lawyers, they are scouring that accident report for anything to make their client look less responsible.
And a reckless driving charge jumps right out.
Like a flashing light. Or even just a note about unsafe speed. Suddenly that report, it's ammunition for them. So a car crash here, it stops being just like an insurance hassle. It becomes a serious legal fight. You need someone ready for that aggressive litigation right away.
Which brings us right back to that document, the accident report itself.
Mm.
For someone listening, maybe they're holding that MV-104 form right now.
Mm-hmm.
What specific things on that paper, maybe codes or checkboxes, become the first battleground? What are the insurance lawyers looking to weaponize first?
Okay, yeah, this is where the real analysis starts. The officer filling out that form uses specific codes. And one of the biggest areas of contention is often that cause of accident box.
Except.
If the officer checks, say, driver inattention versus unsafe speed versus failure to yield, the potential value, the whole direction of the case, can shift dramatically before a civil suit is even filed.
Hi, so what's the difference between like inattention and unsafe speed legally?
Well, driver inattention clearly implies negligence, right? But unsafe speed, that often suggests a more willful disregard for safety. It can potentially open the door to arguing for greater damages, depending on the circumstances. And then there's the narrative section, you know, where the officer writes down a quick summary, maybe includes brief statements from drivers.
Yeah.
Insurance defense lawyers love that section. They'll use it later in depositions to try and trip up the injured person, comparing their detailed testimony months later to whatever brief, maybe slightly inaccurate note is in that initial report.
So if that first report, maybe filled out quickly at a chaotic scene, has something unfavorable, a bad code, a slightly off statement. You need someone who knows how to push back immediately.
Precisely. You need someone who can challenge that initial narrative, gather the real evidence, witness statements, maybe accident reconstruction, vehicle data to prove what actually happened, regardless of what that first piece of paper says.
The report is just the beginning then.
It's often the starting gate, yeah. But the trial lawyer has to be ready to build a completely separate, much more thorough case, especially when you're dealing with life-altering injuries and you know the defense is just going to lean hard on that initial police report. That's where, you know, deep trial experience becomes absolutely essential. We're talking 35 years of it.
Right. Let's talk about that experience. We're talking about Norman Gershon. And these aren't just bullet points on a resume. This represents, what, 3.5 decades focused specifically on personal injury accidents.
Right across the NYC metro area, Westchester, the surrounding counties, and securing tens of millions of dollars for clients in verdicts and settlements.
Tens of millions. And his reach, the scope. He's admitted not just in New York State, but also the federal courts, right? Southern and Eastern districts of New York since way back in 87.
Yes, and that's actually a really crucial point.
Why does that matter for someone injured in, say, Yonkers?
Yeah.
Why does federal court admission make a difference?
It signals readiness for complexity. Sometimes the defendant, the party you're suing, maybe it's a big trucking company based out of state, or a case involving complex federal safety rules, having that federal admission means the firm can handle those jurisdictional curveballs seamlessly.
Ah, so they don't have to bring in another lawyer just for that part.
Exactly. It shows they're equipped for the toughest, most complex cases, which frankly are often the kinds of cases other attorneys might refer out. This is really how he built that reputation. He's known as the go-to trial lawyer, the one who gets results when things get complicated.
And that reputation speaks volumes, especially that core statement about him. He's, I'm quoting here, the lawyer other attorneys call to try their toughest cases.
Think about that. When your own peers, other lawyers, trust you with their most challenging litigation, that sends a very clear message to the insurance companies on the other side.
They know who they're dealing with.
They absolutely do. And his specialties cover the areas where injuries are often most severe. Transportation accidents, that's car, bus, truck, train, motorcycle. Plus, premises liability, medical malpractice, construction site accidents. The opposition knows they're up against a seasoned courtroom veteran.
But, you know, the ultimate proof for any trial lawyer is what happens for the client. The results.
Yeah.
And the source material we looked at, the verdicts are, well, they're undeniable.
Absolutely. Let's look at some specifics because they really illustrate the ability to navigate these incredibly complex medical and liability issues right here in our local courts.
Yeah.
Bronx Supreme, Queens Supreme, Westchester Supreme.
Okay.
Take Betancourt v. NYCTA. A horrific crash. An automobile passenger colliding with a bus. The client suffered fractures of the L1 and L5 vertebrae. Required fusion surgery. Norman Gershon obtained a $16,500,000 verdict.
$16.5 million. Mm-hmm. In Bronx Supreme. For listeners, what makes getting that kind of verdict for a spinal fracture case so challenging in a court like the Bronx?
Well, it demands incredibly meticulous medical evidence preparation and just relentless cross-examination of the defense's medical experts. Because the defense will always argue the injury wasn't that bad, or maybe it was pre-existing or something else caused it.
Right.
So getting a result like that means the firm proved, without a doubt, the permanent devastating impact of that injury and that it was directly caused by that collision. No question left.
And we see that scale again in Lynn v. Metropolitan Transit Authority. That was a bus accident case resulting in terrible degloving injuries, multiple fractures, a $14,500,000 settlement in Queens Supreme.
$14.5 million, yeah. And critically, for our listeners here in Westchester, this success isn't just limited to the city boroughs. Look at Yurkovich v. Siepen.
Aye.
That was a motor vehicle intersection accident happened right here in Westchester Supreme Court. The client had cervical disc herniations, needed fusion surgery. The result, a $2,500,000 verdict.
$2.5 million right here in Westchester. That shows deep familiarity with the local court system, too.
Which is invaluable, absolutely. And you see consistency even in other areas, like premises liability. There's the Decisor v. NYCHA case, a trip and fall, tragically leading to herniated discs, partial paralysis. That was a $5 million verdict in Bronx Supreme.
$5 million.
And there are others, like the $3,750,000 verdict, again in Bronx Supreme, for a lumbar spine injury in Hernandez-Santos v. Egg Depot. The pattern across these multi-million dollar wins is crystal clear. The focus is on securing maximum compensation for catastrophic, life-changing injuries.
That financial focus is obviously essential. These injuries mean huge medical bills, lost income, lifetime care sometimes. But going through litigation, especially while you're recovering, is also incredibly personal, incredibly stressful.
Immensely so.
And you often hear about law firms being, you know, cold, just business. But the testimonials we saw really painted a different picture here.
Yeah, that's where you see the human side, the trust element. People who have gone through this incredibly difficult time, they describe a lawyer who is, yes, tough in court, but also genuinely compassionate. Michael Benowich used those powerful words: smart, experienced, compassionate, tough. And he called him the class of the field.
I was really struck by that quote from SW in Queens. Highlights his intellect, calls him a great lawyer with a brilliant mind, but then immediately adds, he's not just a great lawyer, but a wonderful, warm, caring person.
That personal connection, that level of trust, it makes a massive difference when someone's facing years of recovery and legal battles. It lets the client focus on healing.
Right.
Art Desasore, whose case we mentioned, the $5 million verdict, he put it bluntly, a beast in the courtroom, he's an excellent lawyer and someone that I consider a friend.
Wow. A beast in the courtroom and a friend outside it.
And another client, ZB, really emphasized the preparation aspect, saying Norman studies both sides of the case in such great detail, leaving nothing to chance.
Leaving nothing to chance. That feels like the key phrase when you're up against huge insurance companies just trying to minimize what they pay out.
Exactly. They know they can't catch him unprepared. They know he'll have done the work.
And that confidence, that commitment, it's backed up by how the firm operates financially, right?
Absolutely. They work on a contingency basis. Let's be really clear for everyone listening. You don't pay unless you win, period.
That's a huge statement. It shows incredible confidence in their ability to get results no matter how tough the fight looks.
It really does.
So, wrapping this up. Whether your crash was on the BQE, maybe battling traffic on the Hutch, or at some difficult local intersection right here in Yonkers, the legal road ahead is complicated. It starts with that accident report, but it goes so much deeper.
You need more than just, you know, a lawyer. You need a proven trial lawyer. Someone the courts respect, someone with a track record in this region, and someone, frankly, the insurance companies fear.
And the bottom line is, insurance companies know and fear Norman Gershon.
Because he's the attorney, other lawyers call to try their toughest cases. When everything is on the line, that reputation is maybe your most powerful asset.
So, if you or someone you know has been seriously injured in the tri-state area and you need to understand your options, you should reach out. The law offices of Norman Gershon have offices in White Plains and North Salem.
And for that consultation, the number to call, the single fan dated number, is 914-485-1444.
Let me repeat that, 914-485-1444. It's worth calling today. Get an expert eye on that accident report immediately.
And maybe here's a final thought, something to chew on. We talked about New York's strict enforcement, the speed cameras everywhere. If your initial accident report has that unsafe speed notation, what specific piece of counter evidence, maybe a security camera timestamp, GPS data from your car, something else entirely? What could a really prepared legal team use to prove that the officer's initial roadside assessment was just plain wrong? That's the kind of detailed thinking that separates just reading a report from actually winning complex litigation.